true colors from The Desert Storm by Blue Sunshine, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of George Lucas. Chapter 2. The vessel they were asked to accompany was a lumbering, densely shielded courier called the Saracena. With a hold large enough to get lost in and enough medicinal product to resupply 8 major hospitals. Ben felt watched from the moment they stepped inside. His prime suspects were the load technicians, the Nova Guardsmen, or the techs behind the yellow-lensed cameras located every 10 paces. "Padawan, perhaps you could find something less conspicuous to slip over your tunics," Ben says quietly. Obi-Wan looks up to him, brows raised, and then glances around the crowd of moving bodies working on securing all the cargo. "Think the mechanics have overalls small enough to fit me?" he whispers back. "They should." Ben tips his head towards an lean mechanic, a species whose adult stature was just slightly shorter than Obi-Wan was now. "They always need someone small enough to fit in certain pipes." "If I end in sanitation maintenance, I'm leaving my laundry on your bunk," his Padawan warns grumpily, and Ben snickers, shaking his head. "Try to avoid that outcome. Now, you had best go off and be discreet while I speak to the pilot crew." "Yes, Master," his Padawan nods promptly. "And keep your communicator accessible." "Yes, Master," his Padawan repeats. "And do remember we are here to observe only. If you see something suspicious, report it to me, but do not intervene." "Yes, Master," Obi-Wan admits, starting to shift impatiently. "And Obi-Wan," Ben says. "Yes?" he asks shortly. "May the Force be with you," Ben says, reaching out to tug on his Padawan's short braid. Obi-Wan blinks, impatience melting off. "Thank you, Master, I'm with you." Ben finally lets him disappear into the bustle, trying to get a sense of who around them pays attention to his Padawan as he sneaks off. Ben can still feel his own skin itching for being watched, but the Force whispers of no danger to Obi-Wan. One of the advantages of Padawans, of course, was that the galaxy was constantly underestimating them. Obi-Wan does find an overall uniform that fits, though it pinches uncomfortably in certain places, and he finds a cap to shove over his head. His lightsaber he fits into a pocket on his utility belt. Once donned, the dull green uniform all but turns him invisible amidst the crew, and he does find himself being barked at by a chief engineer. On a vessel this large, not everybody knows everybody, and an additional crew hand isn't suspicious. Thankfully, he's only being tasked with doing some maintenance checks on the cooling system before they hit hyperspace, and not with sanitation. The narrow service pipes are a bit tight, but basic mechanical systems are something initiates learn by the time they're 12, and he's done practical evaluations in spaces just as small. Of course, he was a bit smaller then, too.
"How's it looking up there?"
another mechanic calls, voice echoing off the Durasteel plating.
"The coolant compressor is a little low on pressure, but everything else checks out,"
Obi-Wan calls back.
"Smack the dial with your spanner!"
Obi-Wan lifts a brow at the wall, but does as he's told, feeling the dull metallic clang through the bones of his hand. The needle on the dial shifts.
"All good! Every time!"
the other mechanic laughs back.
"Now ship me on out! We're hitting hyperspace soon, and that's not where you want to be."
"No, it's not," Obi-Wan mutters, shuffling back down the service pipe and squeezing out the access hatch, someone helpfully pulling on his boots as he does.
"There you are. Oh, hey, you're just a youngin'. First service tour?"
the mechanic asks, a gray-skinned Twi'lek in dull green overalls. "I'm older than I look," Obi-Wan says defensively.
"Not by much, I reckon," the Twi'lek retorts. "No shame in starting young. Everybody's got to eat." He shrugs. "Plus, you fit in the tricky places."
He grins, and Obi-Wan finds himself grinning back.
"There is that,"
the Padawan agrees.
"I'm Mac Karuk. Mac to most."
The Twi'lek holds out his hand, helping Obi-Wan to his feet.
"Obi-Wan,"
Obi-Wan replies, as the ship jolts into hyperspace. Mac frowns at the nearest yellow-lensed camera.
"They cut that close? We just got told to pull everyone out of the walls,"
he mutters darkly. "Well, thanks for getting me out then," Obi-Wan says, crouching down to refit the access panel. Being in the walls when the ship jumped to hyperspace was a good way to get electrocuted during the power surge. They're in a hurry, I guess. Chandra Lavrilly needs these medical supplies.
Still, no reason to cook the crew getting there, Mac mutters. Had a friend of mine get caught that way. Permanent scarring in his leku. Never worked shipboard again.
He glances down at Obi-Wan and sighs.
Sorry, hazard of the job, he shrugs.
Right, Obi-Wan nods. So, now what?
Now we track down some rations and wait for something to break.
Mac flashes another knowing grin. Does that happen often?
Ship this big, something's always breaking. Service droids can fix the fiddly stuff, but we certainly earn our paychecks, especially on these medical supply ships, given all the extra equipment and modifications.
Obi-Wan huffs. Good to know.
You'll learn quick.
Mac slaps his shoulder, steering him around the next corner.
I really don't, Obi-Wan mutters.
Ben, once he's made himself known to the captain, the pilot crew, and the lead security officer, argues with a technician for half an hour before being allowed to download all the manifests and personnel rosters. Datapad in hand, he walks the decks of the ship, turning a different direction each time, studying the data and feeling his way around the vessel, waiting for any prompts or warnings from the Force. He is also counting. Counting crew, counting Nova Guards, counting crates, discreetly ensuring that those crates do in fact contain what they are labeled to contain. It has occurred to him that Trident Star could be creating the leak artificially, reporting the product was lost in shipment when in fact it never left the supply station. It would be a lucrative racket, as Chandrila had to pay more for the reserve supplies than the regular shipments. Long term, however, it was a good way for Trident Star to lose a major contract, and therefore unlikely, but Ben checked just in case. Not everyone considered things long term, and few did so as well as he did, given his unique perspective. He received the occasional report from his Padawan, simple text strings on his comms, which were more discreet. Apparently Obi-Wan had made a friend. Apparently things were almost guaranteed to break on this ship. Ben went back to the reports he'd discovered from Samtana, hoping he had the maintenance logs. He did, and it was nothing out of the ordinary. About 1 in 5 transports had to delay from mechanical malfunctions, sometimes more than once per trip. However, about 1 in 4 of those vessels that experienced a mechanical malfunction and was forced to drop out of hyperspace also reported lost cargo. The only thing was, the stops were never in the same place, and never for the same amount of time or the same malfunction. They all were along different hyperroutes on different types of vessels with different crews. Supposedly different crews, Ben thinks, eyeing the anonymous Nova Guards in their concealing uniforms. Or even, Ben considers, the blandly ordinary techs and mechanics in their dull green overalls. Even more curious was that the delays on those vessels which lost cargo were incredibly short, whereas some of the vessels which reported no losses were suspended in empty space for hours or more. But then long delays were obvious, and not once was there a report of another vessel, of being boarded. The cargo was there, and when it arrived in Chandra-La, it wasn't.
Curious, Ben murmurs.